Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 69.
Nice.
Yep, classic. This week we are doing something different, as we are skipping all news, all trailers, what you're watching, all that fun stuff, and just talking Avengers Endgame and Game of Thrones, episode 3 of the final season. Basically, probably like the biggest entertainment weekend ever.
I mean, it has to be the culmination of, what, 7-8 years of Game of Thrones and 11 years of the Avengers Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah, all culminating in one weekend. And for me, I have family obligations and couldn't see Endgame till Sunday, so I went from seeing Endgame to having 20 minutes to process to watching Game of Thrones. My mind still hasn't recovered. How are your viewings this weekend? How are you feeling?
That's terrible. I'm feeling pretty good. I spread it out. I saw Endgame Friday afternoon, then I saw it again Saturday morning. And then,
so not too much time to breathe.
And then Sunday, I relaxed and decompressed from my hangover and the emotional wreckage of Endgame.
Sure.
To prepare for Thrones. Which we'll get into, you know, the emotions of both of those. Let's just run through Avengers. We'll give, you know, our non-spoiler thoughts, as always. And then I think we're just going to run through kind of like beat by beat of the movie and give, you know, deeper thoughts on that.
Yeah, so just like the trailers, we can't really talk too much about it without giving anything away. The trailer showed footage from the first 10 minutes of the movie, basically. So we'll give you super high-level thoughts, but imagine most of you be seeing this soon, so we won't get too deep. And Thrones will pretty much do the same thing, I think.
Yep, indeed. All right, so Avengers Endgame. So let's talk actually about the box office first off. So it opened to the biggest domestic opening and worldwide opening ever, $357 million.
Man.
In the 3 days, which is $170 million more than not $170 million more, $70 million more than like what I was thinking or something like that.
Jesus.
It doubled the highest worldwide opening, which was Infinity War. 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, so pretty universally loved.
Let's see what we guessed here. Do you remember?
I said 93, and you said 91.
Oh, my goodness. So there's still some dust to be settled here, but it's looking good like you're going to win this thing.
I know. I just can't lose these bets. I forget what the bet was.
I don't even remember, but I'm finally paying off on it 2 years later.
So, yeah, pretty impressive, pretty incredible stuff. It's obviously about the aftermath of Infinity War after Thanos snapped away half the universe. Overall thoughts, what did you think about Endgame?
So for me, I mean, I know you've been here from the beginning. It's not like you ignored Marvel movies for the first 5 years. Like, you've been in it as long as I have. 11 years of build-up and development. And for me, you know, it's just astounding what they've done. And they had one final go at this, and to tie it all together and to wrap things up, and to me, they nailed it. So everything paid off, and it's just about everything I could have asked for and hoped for. You go in with all these expectations and hype, and you know, some things meet them, some things exceed them. But for me, it worked, and I loved every minute of it. And I can't wait to see it again without that question mark of who lives, who dies, what happens, and just to kind of enjoy the show, because that first time I was just bogged down with what the hell's going to happen. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think a big aspect of it is just the appreciation for what an incredible feat it is to make 22 movies that are almost all pretty acclaimed,
all
at least critically
good,
or commercially,
if not great,
outside
yeah.
of like Thor: Dark World. And just to be able to do that and have it sort of culminate in like a successful like first part to the end, and then a successful ending part that doesn't feel like they're skimping anyone. It doesn't feel like they're trashing any story beats that they've made. It's kind of coming full circle. So that's just really impressive. And something that you just appreciate.
And a lot of series and universes, even in Star Wars way back in the day, you have casting issues, somebody dies, somebody they have contract negotiations, recastings. Minimal recastings here. Everybody kind of had the same tone through the 11 years, and it's just an unbelievable feat. And that's you got to think about that while you're watching it, and that definitely influences the score that we're about to give it here.
Yeah. But anyways, overall, I loved it. I do think it was actually better on the second time. I think it was just kind of like,
yeah.
I would say the individual moments that, like, kind of got me to just go, like, hell yeah, or, like, got my hairs to stand up on the back of my neck, those moments weren't as good the second time, just because I, you know, I was reliving that sort of thing, but it was still better the second time, I think, because you're just processing it as opposed to, like, trying to predict what's going to happen, like you kind of said. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think it balanced the tone well. It moves along pretty fast. Like, it didn't feel like 3 hours to me.
Yeah. Some people are going to think that it was paced a little slow in the beginning, but you need that breathing room. You need to feel the hurt that they're feeling. And then, for me, literally the only thing I can think of where I was like, eh, is some of the tonal shifts were a little bit, you know, you've got to have comedy in Marvel movies, but it's against this extremely depressing backdrop, and it did kind of flip-flop back and forth, but that's to be expected. You're dealing with so many characters here, each with their own personalities, each working differently with different people in their little respective groups that they break off into, but overall, they balanced it pretty well.
I actually don't think that any of, like, the humor undercut the seriousness of the situation, because I think they already experienced kind of the most devastating aspect.
Yeah.
And they deal with that sort of in the beginning, and, like, the moment that they find out they might have a chance to do something about it, it's kind of like an upbeat kind of thing the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, too serious despite sort of some of the stakes and stuff. So I thought in Infinity War, I think it was constantly kind of like, oh, there's, like, doom coming. And so sometimes some of the jokes kind of cut into that a little bit, but I think because this was sort of just upbeat all the way, I don't think it really affected it that much, at least personally for me.
Yeah, it's more realistic to crack jokes when something good might happen versus cracking jokes when the fate of the world hangs in your hands.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, and I appreciate that this movie kind of did a lot to do a lot more just for the original Avengers team.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, Infinity War was much more about everyone. It was Thanos' story, essentially. This one doesn't really focus on Thanos as much. It's more so about, like, the main Avengers journey, trying to, you know, complete whatever task it is that they have.
Yeah, and they let smaller moments breathe. They don't rush anything. I mean, I remember reading a rumor they were going to put an intermission in this thing. So I imagine some things got cut, but they really did let all of these moments happen that officially kind of wrap this thing up and, you know, give you some closure on some of these people.
Yeah.
I thought the movie looked amazing. You know, we've got some de-aging here. We've got some, obviously, you could expect some large battle sequences with multiple fighters and opponents in the ring. And, you know, you're always going to have those fights that kind of look a little wonky. But with everything they were balancing there from multiple directors, multiple decades of CG, like, it looked pretty damn good. Some of these wide shots with a ton going on, like, movie magic.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think, I think Infinity War actually had some better action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so tough because the two movies are basically just, like, two parts of one story.
Right.
So it's kind of tough to, like, differentiate them.
No, I agree. I think Infinity War had better overall action, but this had, like, more impactful action scenes.
Yes.
With kind of just with the stakes and with the people that are in them and
yeah,
you know, as you can imagine, a lot of emotion in these.
Yeah. Got it. I don't really have anything else. It's really tough to not spoil anything.
Yeah, let's hop in. I can give my review and then you can think about your grade. You've had longer to think about it than me and you've had a second viewing, so I'm excited to hear your thoughts. Endgame is a worthwhile bookend to the best cinematic universe ever created. Everyone gets a chance to shine here, and as expected, you get action, comedy, and of course the moments you'll be fighting back both the happy and sad tears for. The amount of work and dedication that Feige, the rest of the talented filmmakers, actors, and crew had to go through to get to this moment is absolutely astounding. And for me, this film gets as close to the perfect piece of entertainment as you can get. I'm going to give it an A.
Okay. Okay.
And then with the asterisk of, I think if I saw this again, it would inch towards that perfect review. I think I've only given that to, God,
Spider-Verse,
because it caught me off guard. But, like, I think seeing this again, you know, a different perspective on it, it could inch up there. Where are you at, though?
I believe that I would give it firmly an A-.
Okay.
I know that I just kind of said that I think, and it's tough to kind of rate Infinity War against this and them against each other. But I do think Infinity War might be, like, a little bit better. Okay. I believe I gave Infinity War an A, but
for reference, I gave Infinity War an A- and this an A. Do you remember? Sorry, I think you just said it. What did you give Infinity War?
I think I gave it an A.
Okay, got it. So it's right up there.
Yeah. But yeah, it is just immensely entertaining. It is kind of just like the epitome of a Marvel movie, and it's just unbelievably impressive. So, A minus, definitely worth your money to go see. I'll probably fucking go see it again. To be
third
honest.
Time with AMC A list. Why not?
Yeah, might as well.
We'll timestamp everything if you want to listen to our thoughts on Game of Thrones, but we are about to spoil Avengers Endgame, so stop listening now.
Yes, we is. All right, Avengers Endgame spoiler talk starts right now. And trust me, you do not want to listen because we're literally just going to go through the entire plot step by step. So the first scene, the movie opens up and so this is kind of like an AMC thing, but AMC always kind of does, at least in the Dolby theaters, they do that thing where they're like, yes, the projector's still on. And then it shows you that stupid.
Every single time. Yes, the projector is still on. I'm like, nobody cares about blacks and contrast ratio.
They skipped it.
Oh.
For at least the showings that I was in.
Not for me.
Which was really nice because it was kind of like, yo, we appreciate that we got it. Like, we can't do this stupid thing that we know people probably hate.
Yeah.
So anyways, it just kind of starts and it's Hawkeye, or I got Clint Barton, teaching his daughter how to shoot arrows, or helping his daughter shoot arrows, like, outside their farm. His wife, Linda Cardellini, and then their two sons are, like, over by a picnic table. And it's sort of, like, a nice little moment. It's got, like, sort of, like, steady handheld camera action. His daughter goes to grab the arrow out of, like, the tree or whatever that she just shot at. And he's, like, about to walk over to go get lunch, and then he calls his daughter's name, and she's not responding. And then we see sort of the dust flex that we saw at the end of Infinity War. So it's like, oh.
Yeah, I think a lot of us kind of thought this might happen, but boy, they just immediately did it. And you could just, can you imagine? Like, we've seen the movie, or we've seen the TV show Leftovers, and this kind of happens to a certain character there where alarmingly more people in this person's family gets taken than other families, and just unreal. You'd think maybe one stayed behind, but nope, it gets them all.
Yeah, and then he kind of like starts freaking out. He turns around, wife and sons are gone, and you kind of hear like thunder in the background. It's like obviously like the world feels like it's ending or something.
Yeah, I was wondering if they were going to have like planes crashing into the ground or anything, but I think they just panned out and just showed him alone, which was really effective.
I think I kind of like chuckled upon second viewing because he like does like a whistle, like a dog whistle, like he's whistling for, and I was like, what? Is that how you get?
And then he's like, I don't remember his kid's name, but he's like, Mark, Marky Mark, come on, Mark. he's like calling these pets.
Yeah. But that was like that's a very emotional start to the movie. And then we get the Marvel symbol popping up, and we don't get like the typical like Marvel swelling music. It's like a 70s song or something.
Yeah.
And then we jump cut to Tony and Nebula on the Guardians ship.
Tony looking
floating
real
somewhere
thin
in space. Yep. Playing little paper football with each other.
Cute.
And I thought that was a good moment because it again, we've kind of been building towards humanizing Nebula, I think, since Guardians 2, even a little bit in the first Guardians. And so I thought that was a good thing, and it kind of shows them just sort of like kind of dire straits. And then Tony records his message that we kind of see in one of the trailers to Pepper, basically saying like, yeah, like don't have much time, probably not going to make it back, blah, blah, blah.
Pretty effective, pretty sad. Yeah.
But Captain Marvel shows up and flies the ship back to Earth.
Just carries the ship thousands of light years away. Yeah. Like, God, is she overpowered? And I'm like, what are they going to do to neuter her?
Let me ask you something about the look of Captain Marvel. This isn't jumping forward to another thing later. When she's, like, shooting through space, don't you feel like she should have a helmet on? I just, like...
Yeah, she did in the movie, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Captain Marvel she did, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering why she didn't wear that, but she's just hanging out with her face exposed.
Just shooting around like a shooting star. Anyways, then they it cuts to sad. Rest in peace to Chris Evans' beard immediately.
It just shows him shaving. I turn to the wife and go, damn it.
I see that you shaved. Were you inspired by that?
No, I've been growing my hair out for about 2 years, and I told the stylist to cut a fourth of it off, and she cut half of it off, and I said, screw it, I'm going to shave for the first time in 3 years, and I look weird, I don't even know who I am anymore, but let's just say Cap inspired me.
But anyways, then brings it down, or they land outside the Avengers facility, and Tony kind of walks out. Nice little emotional moment with Pepper and with Captain America. Basically, kind of like he's saying, like I lost the kid, blah, blah, blah. And then they go inside, and it's them kind of explaining, trying to figure out, like, what to do, what they could possibly do. And Tony kind of freaks out. He, like, loses his shit. He's like, well, Cap, like you said, like, we were going to lose together and you weren't there, which I don't quite understand, because Tony was on a different planet. Does he think that Cap wasn't fighting on Earth? Like,
it all ties back to their argument in Civil War and what they should and shouldn't have done. But yeah, he's very butthurt about this, which I guess he has a right to be.
Yeah, and Tony freaks out, rips his little, you know, arc reactor chest heart thing out, and just collapses. And he is gaunt as hell, so that's whatever.
Yeah.
But then Nebula kind of speaks up, and she's like, I know, like, where he'd be. And they find that he used the Infinity Stones again. And then they're off. They're going to go find him. Thor is very mopey, and, like, everyone's like, what's his deal? And it's like, he thinks that he, like, messed up, because obviously he, instead of going for the head, he went for the chest at the end of Infinity War. And so they go to Thanos' planet, his little farm retirement home.
Cute. Playing some Stardew Valley, some Harvest Moon.
We see Thanos walking around in a t-shirt and, like, linen pants.
Yeah.
And, like, grabbing some, like, space papayas to make some stew or something.
Look kind of tasty.
And, yeah, I know. And then and you can tell that he's sort of, like, beaten up, because he used the Infinity Stones again, so it's taken a bit more of a toll on him.
Yep.
And then he's inside, and all of a sudden, Captain Marvel shoots through, nails him, and they kind of hold him down. Thor comes in, chops off his arm, or chops off his hand to get the Infinity Gauntlet, and Thanos isn't really fighting back. He's just there. He's just sitting there. And they roll over the Infinity Gauntlet, and all the stones are gone.
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't really have any power at this point. Like, he probably wanted to fight back, but, like, he knows that he's fulfilled his destiny, so he's just kind of like, whatever, do what you must. I've won.
Yeah, he did his thing. He doesn't care anymore, and that's sort of, even in Infinity War, he, like, wasn't, you know, he's ruthless and terrible, but he wasn't, like, trying to, like, kill the people that were attacking him necessarily. He just wanted the Infinity Stones. Yeah. He's like, I don't have to, like, hurt you now, because
just want to do his thing.
Yeah, and so he kind of reveals that that's what happened, is he used the stones to destroy the stones, is basically what he says happened, because he didn't want to be tempted to use them again. He didn't want anyone else to be tempted to use them, so he got rid of them. Nebula, they think he's lying. Nebula's like, my father isn't a liar, and he's like, maybe I was too harsh on you, and she, like, walks over to him, and Thor chops his head off.
Did not see that coming. First 15 minutes of the movie, and Thor is Ned Stark.
Yeah.
Boy, Ned. Wow. That the whole theater that I was in just... And for me, I was like, what's the threat? Are they going to introduce, like, this Galacticus that I've been hearing about? These these higher powers? But eventually we see Thanos again.
Yeah. And I think that was, like, that was a pretty cool scene. And that was kind of, like, just hammering home how hopeless they are.
Yeah.
I think it was interesting, because I do think a lot of people were expecting, you know, some sort of time travel or something to happen, but no one was expecting Thanos to get decapitated within the first 15 minutes of the movie.
I thought they were going to go fight him and get their asses kicked and then kind of have to rethink their plan, but I certainly did not see a decapitation right off the bat. So that was definitely a good start.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then it kind of just shows, you know, Avengers Endgame, the title card, and the 5 years later font pops up. Basically, it's sort of just like the sad state of the world. We see, like, a dark shot of, like, Brooklyn or New York City or something, and Steve or Captain is at, like, a basically like an AA meeting, not an AA meeting, but, like, for, like, people that are sad.
With some cameos. Did you hear about who was in that scene?
Joe Russo, one of the directors of the movie, is sharing a story as, like, one of the people in the meeting
about trying to date in the post-snap world.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was an effective scene. It really showed, like, how the world is trying to move on, but, like, just think about how depressing that would be. Even 5 years later, like, you cannot believe what's happened.
Yeah, that stuff is, obviously, you know, that's something that I could see people trying to detract from the movie, as in saying, like, oh, like, I wish, like, they would have delved more into, like, sort of, like, the depressing state of
not enough
the
time.
World and, like, how people would feel. But, like, that's not what the Marvel movies are about. Yeah. We have the leftovers to hear about, like, that kind of thing. We don't need
that in
the Marvel
We got five-year-olds at this movie. You can only go so dark. This movie's it's for kids. Come on.
And, yeah, but that was a nice little scene, just kind of reflect the state of the world and sort of, Steve's outlook on the world and kind of like, well, like, we have to keep living and
we
keep
must
trying.
Rebuild. Yeah.
And it's him always like wanting to keep trying, wanting to like do what's best. And then, we cut to Black Widow / Natasha at the, Avengers Initiative or facility, I should say. And she's kind of like the head of honcho now.
She's looking a little rough though. Looking a little sad.
Looks like she's struggling. She's literally just like eating a PB&J sandwich while,
No, I think it was just peanut butter on bread.
Oh, because
she's like, do you want half of a peanut butter sandwich? Like, she's struggling.
But anyways, Nebula and Rocket, like, you know, hologram in. They're basically out doing stuff. Captain Marvel's out doing stuff. Okoye is out doing stuff. And then they all kind of leave. And Rhodey / War Machine is still there. And he kind of, like, Nat expected him to leave, and she asked him, like, what the deal is. And he has been on the tail of Hawkeye, basically, hunting him down. He said that, basically, a bunch of cartel members got slaughtered in Mexico, and, like, they know that it's Hawkeye, and he's just been kind of globetrotting, it sounds like, just killing bad people.
Couple things here with the holograms. First, I think we get a look of Captain Marvel's new hair, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do. That.
Not a fan.
Not a fan. That was a. I saw someone said that was that was like 1/4 of the I want to speak to your manager starter pack.
Yeah. Name's Karen. She wants to speak with the manager.
Yeah.
I've heard that eventually that hairstyle turns into kind of like a shaved side head hairstyle, and they're probably saving that for the next Captain Marvel movie.
Oh, so like Hawkeye's hairstyle?
Yeah, exactly. Except probably is going to look a little bit better, even though that is such a trash hairstyle. There's also a mention of random earthquakes happening in oceans around on our Earth. And some people have said that that might lead to apparently some Atlantis city with additional superheroes. I don't know enough about the comic book series, but what do you know about that?
Yeah, so I believe that... people kind of want Black Panther 2 to have this either anti-hero / villain named Namor, I think his name is.
Yeah, that's about right.
Who's basically like a sea supervillain or something, or like a dude in Atlantis, and have that sort of be the villain. I think that might have been like kind of a hint at it, but Okoye kind of brushes it off, and she's like, it's an earthquake under the sea. You just let it, like, you
We've
can't
got
do
bigger
about
fish
it.
To fry.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Then we basically have Cap Marvel say, like, hey, I'm not going to be in this movie for much. Goodbye.
Yeah, she pieces out. She's like, like the rest of the universe kind of needs, like, everything that's happening on Earth is happening in the rest of the universe, and they don't have you, they need me.
Yep.
And so she's dealing with all that.
She
and that is how we deal with her not being overpowered and helping everything and finishing everything right away.
Bye.
Anyways, Steve shows up, or I should say the Hawkeye stuff is clearly affecting Black Widow pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
She like starts breaking down, and then Captain America shows up, and he's like, says some funny flirty quip, and then they chat, and all of a sudden we get that scene from the trailers where they get an incoming call from Scott Lang / Ant-Man / Paul Rudd, and he's like trying to get them to come in. They're like, is this like an old clip? And she's like, no. And so then he comes in, and he is basically trying to explain to them the quantum realm, because he just got out of there. So we jump to San Francisco. The van is in like a storage unit. And this is the one true hero of the MCU, is this little rat steps on like the quantum machine thing and opens it up and shoots Paul Rudd back out.
We've got to get a name for this rat. He saved the universe, essentially.
I saw some people joking that it's Mickey Mouse.
Oh dear God! I hate it. I hate it.
Anyways, he gets out, and then that's when he goes to like the Avengers, or I guess
Ken Jeong cameo though.
Yeah, Ken Jeong.
No lines.
Yep. is the security guard that lets him out and just has like a terrible mustache. But anyways, Paul Rudd then is just kind of like walking around, and there's like this memorial up of like everyone's names, and he's just frantically searching for it, trying to find like his daughter's name. Doesn't find it, but then he sees his name, and he's like, "Shit! Do they think that like I got snapped?" Because he's been gone.
Yeah. And for him, he's been gone hours?
5 hours. He said,
"Yeah, that's such a mind bending."
And so then he goes to find his daughter. His daughter, first off, does she age like 15 years? Like what?
It looks like 10. I mean, I feel like she was like 8.
Well, I mean, it was only 5 years, and she looks like she's 17.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she aged way too much.
Yeah. Anyway, they have a nice little reunion. That was a nice little emotional thing. And then he goes to, you know, explain the quantum realm to Steve and Nat. And that's when they decide they need to go visit Tony.
Tony.
Hey, Tony. I cannot wait to talk about Mark Ruffalo.
There's a couple new memes that we're going to add to this podcast.
So like, they go to visit Tony, and Tony living a nice cabin life on a lake somewhere. And he's walking out. He walks out to like this little tent, and he has a little young daughter,
so
a little 5-year-old daughter.
She's so cute.
Very cute.
Yeah.
She actually has on like what looks like an Iron Man like head mask thing, and then like a blaster on her hand. And he's like, "Oh, like, don't take
mommy's.
That. Like, that's for your mommy." Blah blah blah.
Foreshadowing.
So we know Pepper's getting some new tech here.
So I guess
Pepper
soon. In the comics is rescue, and she mostly is just support. But this one has guns, so a little different.
Yeah.
But finally, see Pepper kick some ass.
Yeah. And then basically. The other three, Paul Rudd, Ant-Man. I keep switching between like superhero names, character names, and actor names. Ant-Man, Captain America, Black Widow all show up, and you can tell that Tony's not too thrilled about it. And then they try to start to convince him, like, "Yo, like, we think that we could do some sort of time travel." He calls it a time heist. And Tony just shuts him down. He's like, "I got my second chance with like his daughter." Because he lost, you know, I guess Peter Parker, and he just doesn't think that like it's gonna work. Doesn't want to risk it. Sends him away.
Which I didn't have a problem with that. I could buy that.
Yeah, no, that's very believable.
Yeah, for sure.
Then the other three go to find Bruce Banner, who is now Professor Hulk,
Hipster Hulk.
Perfect. Mixture of the Hulk and Bruce Banner. He's wearing like a freaking sweater.
It was
so like big cardigan and
off-putting to see the Hulk and him like, "Hey guys, thanks for coming to visit my diner." Did he like own that diner?
I don't have any
or, like,
idea.
Was he just there with these like giant-sized dishes that they made for him? I think he must have been like in an entrepreneur at this point because people knew where to find him to take pictures. Which that seems.
Well, I mean, he's a scientist.
But what's he doing running a diner?
I don't know if he's running the diner. Maybe he was just eating breakfast.
So he went in there, was like, "I need 1,000 orders of scrambled eggs."
Yeah, like, dude, maybe.
Hey guys, how's it going? Tony.
Anyways, these little kids come up to him and they ask him for a picture. They take a picture, then Paul Rudd's like, "Oh, don't you want a picture with me? Like, I'm Ant-Man." And this is kind of funny. The kids were like awkward and like, "No," like they don't.
But then they're like, "No, we can if you want." And he's like, "No, you don't. It's fine." They're like, "We want to." That was pretty good.
Yeah, and then they, like, finally leave. As they're walking away, Professor Hulk dabs, and he goes, "Dab."
So the dab at this point is how many years old? Like, when
like
you
10,
and I are
12?
In this reality now, the dab is how many years old? 5? 6? So
No. The dab, it was, like, a 2015 thing? So it's, like...
4? 5?
No.
In our timeline right now, you and me. So
oh,
let's
right
just
now.
Say... By
yeah.
that point, it's even older.
It's like,
so, like, that's
like
how disconnected
old, yeah.
he is. That's like pulling out, I don't know, the Macarena at that point.
Yeah.
Good
yeah,
God.
That was
cringe.
God. Oh, man. But anyways, they ask him, he's like, "That's not really like my, to help him out with time traveling." He's like, "That's not really my area of expertise." And they're like, "Well, you figured out how to freaking mishmash those two together, or the Hulk and Banner together, so we think you could probably figure this out." And he's like,
"No, sure. All right, give it a shot, Tom."
And so then he starts helping them out, and they do like one test run in the quantum realm, And Paul Rudd comes back as a teenager, then a super old dude, then a baby, and then himself. So it's clearly not working too well.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty funny moment. And then a great line from Paul Rudd there talking about pissing himself and not knowing who did it.
I think baby... Yeah, I can't remember it, but yeah, he basically is like, I'm not sure if it was baby me or Mimi that peed his pants.
Yeah.
Quite funny.
And then actually, guess what? Tony Tony actually back at the cabin that same night, runs a little test model and somehow
immediately finds out time travel.
Get another little cute thing with his daughter.
I love you 3000.
I love you 3000 is what she says
adorable
to him. Oh man. And then he, you know, talks with Pepper about it and tells her that he figured it out. And he's like, you know, I could just like throw in a lockbox, drop it into the bottom of the lake. He's like, and not worry about it. And she's like, well, like, would you be able to rest or something?
Mm-hmm.
Like if he did that, and
foreshadowing.
And he decides, no, he wouldn't. And so he goes to the Avengers facility, and pulls up. It's just driving the nicest car, driving like 400 miles per hour. Stops.
I mean, if I'm him, I'm flying there in my suit. Oh, but go ahead.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Cap's waiting out there, and Cap tells him that they messed up and like they don't know how it works, and he tells him like, oh yeah, I wonder who told you that. Yeah. And typical banter.
Cocky.
And then he gives him his shield back.
Where was his shield last? I don't remember how he got it. After beating each other senseless in Civil War?
After Civil War,
So how did Iron Man have it?
Well, I believe that the government took it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
When they were like, Iron Man is now a terrorist. Captain America is now a terrorist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Because remember, like, Infinity War, he had, like, the weird, like, arm shields. Not even, like, a full shield, arm, like, mm-hmm. Guards.
Somebody get this man a shield.
And, beautiful. Beautiful.
What happens
beautiful
now impersonation determines what to what happens to the rest of the world.
Good God, that is so bad. Oh my God.
I never freeze.
Basically, he asked them if they're gonna have a team, and this is when they decide to go get more people. Nebula and Rocket come back, and Natasha goes to find Clint/Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. As we know, Hawkeye, like we just said before, was like globetrotting to kill people. And we get actually kind of like a cool long take here of him fighting like some like Yakuza like people in Japan, in Tokyo. And he.
Good visuals, yeah. I like the neon and the different type of setting that we're not used to seeing. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good fight
that
scene.
That was something about this movie. They had a nice mix of like cinematography and colors to use, like when it was bland in New York, like when they were going to attack the battles and like all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm.
Definitely jumped around to a lot of locations.
Yeah. He slits the dude's throat, and I think this is the first time that I can remember seeing blood.
Yeah, aside from like maybe green gooey blood from aliens, this is a legit
like this
kill.
Dude's blood is pouring like out like over his hand.
I was surprised.
He says something like the dude's like why are you doing like I didn't do anything to you, and he's
I'll
like
give
like,
you anything
my family like died and you're still alive but my family's like innocent, basically that kind of thing. So he's like just killing
so
people
he's just
that
a
are
vigilante.
Bad that he thinks yeah
he's judge because, jury and executioner on whoever he thinks he should kill because his family was innocent and died. Interesting.
And Natasha convinces him to come back.
So he becomes who? What's his name? I've completely forgotten. Ronan. Okay. And I think he gets like a Ronan tattoo. Like
he's got a badass sword.
Shaves
now
that
too.
Hair. Like he's he's really going all in on the badass imagery.
Yeah, yeah. He had a midlife crisis because his family disappeared.
I'll bet he has a nipple ring or something too.
Ooh, probably. Yeah. And then Rocket and Hulk go get Thor in like Poland or Norway or something.
Here we go.
And Thor's fat now.
I could not stop laughing. It reminded me of Fat Mac from Always Sunny, and it was just incredible. And we kind of get the tone shift from we get Taika Waititi in the room, and we get a Taika Waititi Thor just cracking jokes, and they're really letting his comedic play here. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like Korg is playing Fortnite, and Thor like yells at some other gamer that's playing against him, and like tells him that like he'll come and get him if he's the God of Thunder or something. And but anyways, they're like trying to convince him like they have a chance to like go get Thanos, and Thor like shuts down once he hears the name. Still very upset about what happened, not being able to, you know,
he's
kill
Voldemort
Thanos.
In that house. They can't talk about, they can't say his name.
Yeah. Basically they convince him to come with by, one, you know, kind of like we get a second chance. Two, promising him beer on the flight back. And
he is so fat.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And so then they go and sort of run some tests, and they send so many names. Hawkeye through.
They send Hawkeye. Yep.
They send Hawkeye through. He goes back to like when his like family was still around.
Like he's got the most to gain out of this.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll
and
do
so
it.
Like he yeah, and so he you know, like he sees the like it works. He comes back. He has like his son's baseball glove that he grabbed and brings it back. And so he's like, yo, like we can do this. And so then, you know, boom, they're doing it.
Suiting up time. We get the thing we've seen 1,000 times in the trailer. Everybody in a white suit walking ready to go.
The only issue is that they don't have like enough because Hank Pym disappeared. They don't have enough of like the quantum particles or whatever to like do it endlessly as many tries as they want. So they only have enough for each person to go back and then return to their timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide they kind of go through all these scenarios trying to figure out where the stones were, when they can get them. Their plan is to get the stone, bring it back, unsnap, then take all the stones back and put them back in the exact situation where they took them from so as to not mess up timelines and like all that stuff.
This is a stressful plan. They get one shot at this.
My favorite aspect of them planning is when Thor goes up there to basically explain Thor the Dark World, the movie, to the entire entire cast, and he like starts getting mopey about it. But like Paul Rudd is like a little dog, like listening the entire time. He's like so like on, like ready to like hear it. And then everyone else is like, God damn it. Like, why are we letting him talk?
Everybody's right now face palming. He did bear a resemblance to Lebowski. And they say, get out of the way, Lebowski.
Yeah, he does. Hilarious. Yeah, that's what Tony Stark says. Yeah. But anyways, basically they decide there's going to be 3 stones in New York at one time, which is basically when the events in the Avengers, the first Avengers, is happening. Then obviously the ether or whatever the hell it is in Thor the Dark World, and then 2 stones, the Power Stone from get it from Quill before Peter Quill gets it in Guardians of the Galaxy, and then the Soul Stone, which we know is on the one planet that you know.
So we start time heisting.
Yeah, time heist. Iron Man, Ant-Man, the Hulk, and Captain America all go to the Battle of New York in 2012, I think. The Hulk basically goes to the Ancient One, which is where Doctor Strange is, the Time Stone. And he kind of goes back and forth with her. She refuses to give it up, and then eventually he brings up Doctor Strange and saying, like, Doctor Strange gave it up willingly, and that sort of clicks something for her. She's like, well, Doctor Strange is supposed to be the best of us, so he must have done it for a reason. So she gives it to him.
Which is crazy. Like, she must be incredibly all-knowing because she hasn't even met him in person yet. This is, what, 5 years away that she creates, basically, Doctor Strange?
Yeah. 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 So that's quite the thing for that kind of magic there.
Yep.
Then Cap, Iron Man, and Ant-Man go to retrieve the Tesseract after Loki surrenders. This is kind of the coolest parts because this is sort of where we're actually seeing stuff from like a movie that we watched, but seeing stuff like scenes that we didn't get to see, really.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Different angles, different perspectives, and a lot of just different situations.
Yeah, and so basically S.H.I.E.L.D. / Hydra agents come to pick up the Tesseract, but the Scepter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the Avengers basically are taking the actual Tesseract and Loki away. Cap stops the elevator that the Hydra agents are in.
Time for an elevator fight.
He walks in, kind of reminiscent of the Civil War or the Winter Soldier fight. But what he does here is he just leans in and says, Hail Hydra, to, like, the director or whatever, and he gets it, which is hilarious.
Subverting expectations left and right. Is it now or later that we start talking about his ass, America's ass?
Oh, it was before that. Tony and Ant-Man are, like, kind of, like, hiding in the room, and they're looking at they're looking at him, and Tony makes a mention about like how like his suit isn't very fitting, and then Ant-Man just goes, "No, that's America's ass."
That comes back a little bit later, but we'll touch on that soon. actually, now I think.
Yeah, and so Cap, trying to get away with the scepter, runs into other Cap, the actual captain from that time, and basically they start fighting. He's like, "Oh, like I found Loki." Blah, blah, blah.
Which is hilarious.
Not actually Loki, yeah. And they basically start fighting. We get kind of like some self-referential stuff where, like, the past Cap is like, "I could do this all day," and current Cap is like, "God, yeah, I know,
yes,
all right?
I know, I get it. Like, I've been there."
And he's just, like, so tired of it. He's like, "All right, got it, dude." And so they fight and fight and fight, and then eventually he kind of, like, beats him by being like, "Bucky's still alive," and sort of takes him back, and then he hits him with the scepter.
I just love how they time travel, and it's just so reminiscent about in every single time travel movie or TV show, things unravel and break and spin out of control so quickly, and that happened right away here. Immediately, they're like, "We've broken the rules. What do we do?"
Yeah. And then, so Cap has the scepter then, and Tony and Ant-Man, basically Ant-Man gives Tony Stark a heart attack. Or like mild cardiac arrest, I think. And they basically try to grab the Tesseract. But Loki picks it up because the Hulk comes bursting out of the stairs as Tony's walking away with it and knocks it out and basically knocks Tony out.
Love it.
Which is kind of like hilarious because we're seeing like weird, normal, calm Professor Hulk. And then we see like the typical angry Hulk who's pissed that he had to walk down the stairs and just like starts destroying the lobby.
And we also saw Professor Hulk have to fake act like old angry Hulk where he's just like, rawr.
Like slightly tosses a motorcycle like 4 feet. but anyways, what's weird there is Loki, because then, like I said, Loki grabs the Tesseract and spaces out of there. So that sounds like someone that's going to be the setup for the Disney Plus show.
Yeah, we were wondering what the heck was going to happen. It seems that Loki outpaces his fate and either eventually still dies again or we have a new timeline for him. It'll be interesting to see what they do. It sounds like he might actually be in this show and it's not going to be some other recast. We don't really know what's going to go on with him.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll see. And all the time travel stuff is very confusing.
Starting
to,
to unravel here. I did like that Cap versus Cap fight. Thought it was well filmed. A lot of great stuff there.
Yeah, it was cool. That was like one of the better fight sequences, even though it was very short lived. Yeah. It was just kind of like cool.
You were just
one-on-one.
Like, "Oh shit, this is really happening." Cap versus Cap.
But yeah, and a lot of the Cap stuff was pretty funny in this movie. I don't think he gets a lot of funny stuff, but he was kind of humorous because he's just kind of like. Like, "I'm too old for this shit" kind of thing.
Yeah, Danny Glover over here.
Yeah. But then basically they realize that they need to get, they don't have the Tesseract. So they have to figure out something to do. And then Tony kind of realizes, like, there's another time where we can get the quantum particles and the Tesseract. They're together in one space and time, and it's in 1970. They go back there. I'm kind of hopping around here, but we'll get back to the other stuff. So Cap and Tony transport back to 1970. They go to, like, a S.H.I.E.L.D. training site to retrieve Tesseract and some more quantum particles so they can return, basically because they blew their 2012 chance. Tony gets the Tesseract, but meets his dad, actually.
Roger Sterling from Mad Men. I think the same actor from
it is.
Ever since they introduced him. Yeah. Start to get some heartwarming back and forth. I like this part.
Yeah. It was kind of funny because it was like Tony was clearly being like very sketchy.
Yeah.
And Howard Stark was just like, let's just talk.
You're just hanging out in this secure area, just falling over yourself, acting strange. I'm going to expose my entire heart and life story to you about my son right now.
Yeah, you want to hear about my family? Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So then they kind of like have, you know, that emotional back and forth. Tony's finally able to kind of like show his appreciation to his dad and feel like his dad appreciated him, even though he hadn't been born yet. Very nice. We see like the very original Jarvis driving the car for Howard Stark.
First reference to any Marvel TV show by the movies ever.
Yeah.
So that was actually big.
Yeah. Interesting. It was an interesting thing. Cap basically prank calls Hank Pym, or young Hank Pym, I should say, and sneaks into the office, steals the Pym particles. And then he actually, when he's hiding from another community actor, I think her name's Yvette Nicole Brown is like her actual act, like the actual actress's name. She plays Shirley in Community.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So the Russo brothers, by the way, directed a lot of Community episodes, so they try to, like, they've put a lot of Community actors.
Did you catch the Joel McHale cameo?
He's not in this.
I know. Good, don't do that. Good to poker me. Face.
Don't do that to me.
The Chevy Chase cameo.
So then Cap's hiding out, and he sees Peggy Carter.
Ooh, he sees his old girlfriend.
And we get yet another sort of thing where in the very beginning of the movie, when they're flying to meet Thanos for the first time, he's like looking at his little pocket watch picture of her longingly, and then here he's staring at her longingly through the window. So you're kind of getting things like, oh, he wishes that he could go back.
Setting him up for trying to figure out, with all this newfangled stones and technology and jumping through time, whether he can actually have a happy life here at some point.
Yeah, and then Cap and Tony teleport back to the present because they got their stuff. Asgard, Fat Thor and Rocket plan to get the ether out of Jane Foster's body, Natalie Portman's body. Thor is like having breakdowns about it, freaking out, and then basically his mom sees him, and he just kind of like just shares everything with her.
She's like, "You're from the future, aren't you?" He's like, "No, definitely not. I'm the real Thor. It's me, mother." Did you think they got, for a second there, I thought they got Natalie Portman back, but no, same. They just awkwardly reused past scenes.
Yeah, same. I thought so too, and I was thrown off. Anyway, she kind of like gives him a pep talk, makes him sort of regain confidence a little bit. Like tells him that everyone fails, blah blah blah, all that, you know, good stuff. Rocket retrieves the ether, and before they leave, Thor gets Mjolnir, his hammer.
It's back. And he's excited because he's still worthy. He feels like shit. Mm-hmm. He's not sure if Fat Thor can still wield it, but starts to get his confidence back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So he's back. Then on Morag, which is where the Power Stone is, which Peter Quill is trying to get, War Machine and Nebula stay there while Clint and Nat go to Vormir. Unfortunately, Nebula, I don't even like understand how this works, but like Nebula's past self and her current self, because I guess she's like a cyborg or whatever, like her memories like start to meld together. And so Thanos actually finds out, one, that like there's some janky shit going on. People from the future are there, and where the stones are, or where some of the stones are.
Yeah, this is where it's very clear they needed some sort of plot contrivance to get past Thanos aware of what the hell's going on. Yeah, I guess it worked for me. It was fine. Whatever.
And the introduction to Thanos is kind of like just shows him as being like as brutal as he is.
Oh yeah,
because like he walks in with his like double sided blade with full of blood that he wipes off. Yeah, so you can tell that like this is like very intense Thanos and not like war ridden Thanos. Not just like I'm here for a purpose to snap away.
Yeah, this is Thanos ready to kill just to kill. I mean, we do know he went planet to planet, slaughtering entire planets, half, you know, person by person. So we get that version of Thanos.
But then War Machine and Nebula knock out Quill after watching him do his dance and singing to the song that he does in the intro of Guardians of the Galaxy, which was
so
hilarious.
Excited that we got Redbone, Come and Get Your Love back. I love that opening of Guardians. It's one of my favorite openings of any Marvel movie, and to see him dance around and lip sync with no music was so good.
And to have them cut out the music and just have him singing it like out loud was so funny. Yeah. So they just knock him out and they get the stone easily. War Machine is like, all right, we're ready to go back. And then Nebula trips out again and gets stuck there. Then on Vormir, where the Soul Stone is, where Gamora was given or traded for it, Hawkeye and Black Widow meet the Red Skull, as we saw before in Infinity War, and basically told how to do it. They kind of like go back and forth. They're like, Hawkeye's like, you don't really believe this dude, right? And then they kind of like come to the realization, like, yo, like one of them has to die. And they kind of like, they square off. It was kind of like a very cool scene, I think, kind of trying to like prevent the other person from jumping off the cliff for the Soul Stone. Clint almost does it. He's fallen all the way down, and then Nat kind of grabs him, puts like a little grapple on him, And then,
I could not tell who was going to go here, you know? They really kept the tension high, and I was like, oh my God, Hawkeye's going, no, oh, Nat's going, nope, Hawkeye. Like, back and forth, playing with my emotions, but eventually Nat says, just let me go.
Yep, and then, you
know, we get our first big death.
Yep, first big death, Black Widow done, which I think caught a lot of people by surprise because she has a solo movie on the way.
What the heck's happening with that? We getting a recast? Is it a past, future? Who the heck knows at this point?
Yeah, but anyways, Nebula then is like back on the ship with Thanos. They like beamed her up and they're extracting information. And then like past Nebula is like trying to prove her worth and is clearly up to some sort of scheme. Then we jump to all the members are back to present. They basically all arrive at the same time because that's how this time travel works. Everyone starts sort of getting devastated by Black Widow's death. But then Professor Hulk. Every time that I think of Hulk, I just want to say Tony and just say, Tony, and then Tony does this.
Thanos is coming. He's coming, Tony.
And then he's basically like, we got to do it like for her. Like, we did this, you know, can't just give up now. And so they kind of create, like, Tony creates, like, this sort of, like, Iron Man Infinity Gauntlet, essentially.
Which looked pretty Hulk badass.
Yeah, Hulk decides that he's the one that should do it because it's going to be, he said, like, gamma radiation, some BS
just
like that.
Just made something up, like, it's mostly going to be gamma.
Yeah.
No.
So he does it, snaps it, and then all of a sudden, like, he passes out, and then all of a sudden, Hawkeye's phone starts going off, and it's his wife calling. One, heads up to him for paying the family plan for 5 extra years. Didn't have to do that. Goes, picks it up, and basically starts talking to her, and then all of a sudden, Thanos' ship, you know, appears because Nebula, past Nebula, was the actual, sort of tricked her way into this by grabbing, like, the head plate of the past Nebula, or the current Nebula. God, it's so confusing. But anyways,
and then, Thanos, like, she just, like, flips a bunch of buttons and gets Thanos back, which I was like, okay, I'll just suspend my disbelief here that she knew exactly what she was doing to get Thanos back.
Who knows, man? I guess she can maybe know.
I thought that was a cool scene when you could tell that they kind of won, but then you knew, like, it's about to go down again.
Yeah. And so Thanos' big-ass ship appears and just bombs the hell out of the Avengers facility.
But at this time, you're kind of thinking, destroyed. Okay, Clint's wife called. I think I know what's about to happen here. And you start kind of internally getting hyped and wondering, how is this big re-entrance of everybody going to be and when is this going to happen? But we got a little bit of a fight before that.
Yeah. So basically sort of Hulk is trapped under the rubble. Hawkeye is. Rocket is. Ant-Man is. War Machine is. And Hawkeye actually finds the gauntlet and is being chased by, like, Thanos' dogs or whatever the, like, alien fierce creatures are.
Alien dogs, yes.
trying to get away from them. And he basically gets away from them, shoots himself up, and then Nebula is there, but it's past Nebula. And she's, like, threatening to kill him, and then old Nebula shows up, or current Nebula shows up, and Gamora shows up, and then Nebula kills past Nebula to get the gauntlet back.
Which, that was the only person that had two of themselves in the current timeline, so it was, I guess, a good thing for them to remedy that.
God. It's so confusing.
I'm starting to lose track here. Okay. We're doing good. We're doing good.
And my dog is trying to tear apart my sheets right now. Stop being so dumb, Carbon. And so anyways, then Cap, Tony, and Thor sort of walk out and see Thanos just sitting there. And Thanos had said, like, oh, I'm just waiting. Like, he's just waiting for them. And at this point, Thanos is just mad.
Yep.
So they show up, and Thor turns into Nordic god Thor, still fat though. Has Stormbreaker and Mjolnir, which is pretty badass. And they sort of walk up to him, and Thanos is like you guys should have, like, appreciated what I did for you, but it's clear that, like, you're too far gone. And so what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna start the universe anew. No one's gonna live, and they'll be appreciative of, like, me giving them life, as opposed to you guys who didn't appreciate what I did for you.
So did you think he was going to kill everybody but himself, and also, like, during the snap, create some organisms and societies under his rule?
Yes. Yeah.
And did you also think that Thor would be fat the whole movie? Because I assumed at some point maybe his mom would give him his abs back, maybe the getting Mjolnir would give him his abs back, maybe just warping or some sort of science or technology would give him his abs back, but no, we get Fat Thor for the final battle, and apparently some people are up in arms about this. They didn't want that, but I think it's hilarious.
See, I kind of appreciate it because, like, Infinity War kind of showed that, like, Thor can also be very OP because he's a literal god. And yeah. So, like, him being fat, I think, was supposed to be, like, he's still not, like, at the top of his game, that kind of thing. Yeah. So,
yep. I liked it. And he looked pretty badass, like, as a big dude and, like, with a giant beard. Yeah. So I'm cool with that.
Yeah. So then they basically, they're fighting. And then Thanos is just kind of dominating them.
Yep.
Dominating. Thanos is about to kill Thor at one point, kind of like holding him down, ready to just like beat him up. And all of a sudden we see Mjolnir move a little bit. And comes flying to Cap, who, in an Age of Ultron, almost was able to pick it up.
Just barely moved it. And Thor's face tells the whole story. Thor's like, what the hell?
Yeah. And Thor actually, in this, when that happens, goes,
I knew it. Yeah. And so Cap awesome. Starts
beating the crap out of Thanos. And then Thanos kind of breaks, just like gets angry that like he's starting to get beaten, and just destroys Cap's shield, like cuts it in half.
Yeah,
essentially.
That was the Mjolnir going into Cap's hand was one of the first and of many giant audience applauses. Yep, I mean I had goosebumps, but I'm not sitting there like
it like took my breath away. 311 like, concert. That was sweet.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh my god, but basically, you know, things aren't looking great. I was pretty worried that Cap was going to die.
Oh yeah, in there. Yep.
But he doesn't. All of a sudden, we hear Sam/Falcon's voice saying, on your left, little reminiscent of one of their previous interactions. And we see, basically, all those little Doctor Strange, like, light circle things.
And the goosebumps open up. Begin to hit everyone's yep. bodies.
And everyone starts walking through, all the vanished. I think Black Panther's the first one through. And it's, God, there's so many. It's, like, everyone.
When I saw all of those circles, I'm like, oh, my God. They're all coming back right now. And then you see Black Panther and two other people are next to him. I can't remember who, but...
I think it was Okoye and Shuri.
Yes, correct. You see kind of just their silhouettes. You're not sure who. Mm-hmm. But, boy, when they came through, the audience went nuts. And then you just see the rest of them. And it was just the most awe-inspiring, just hype moment in any film I've ever seen.
It's sweet. You get, like, literally everyone. Ant-Man becomes Gigantic Man, again, reminiscent of him in Civil War, basically shooting through the rubble, putting down the three people that were trapped underneath. And then we just get gigantic all-out war.
All-out war.
And,
yep.
Actually, what did I forget? Cap finally says, Avengers Assemble.
Sure does. I was wondering if we'd ever see Tessa Thompson's character fly and fight. She flies on her little horse. That was cool. Mm-hmm. We get new weapons from Spider-Man. Kill Mode's finally engaged, which just is a stabby machine of chaos. Everybody is here. Even, I guess, Rescue, or whatever you call Pepper Potts Pepper. Now. Mm-hmm. Just an incredible moment. Just unbelievable.
Yeah. It's sweet. It's just all-out mayhem then. And basically they're trying to get the Infinity Gauntlet to the quantum reactor thing, which hilarious moment is when Paul Rudd like clicks the keys and you hear that stupid horn sound. For a second, I legit thought Michael Pena was going to show up.
Oh my God. That would have been.
Could you imagine?
The one cameo that we deserved, we didn't get.
Oh man. Apparently the music when Thor was telling like the story of the Dark World, it was that same music that plays when Luis tells his like flashback stories.
Oh nice. That's hilarious.
But anyways, basically Clint is like running around playing hot potato with the Infinity Gauntlet. Passes it to Black Panther, who just like goes crazy with it. Passes it to Spidey, once Black Panther's sort of caught up. Spidey gets rescued by Cap and
I think.
And then Cap, and then Valkyrie, and then he gets sort of get knocked down.
I just like how Black Panther was like, Clint, give it to me. He's just like, just stop it. You're a guy with arrows. Just, I have a great, great suit here. Just give it to me.
Got that first name respect, though.
He did. He remembered his name. I like that.
We get a little intercut scene of Quill kind of getting, or Star-Lord getting knocked down and like, and then Gamora saving him and he walks up and like, he's like, is it like you, Gamora? And like tries to like touch her face and she just nails him in the nuts.
That's gotta be heartbreaking. I felt for him there, but it was hilarious.
And Nebula walks up and Gamora's like, is this one? She's like, it was a him or a tree.
Which there was so much going on in that scene with the Avengers assembling. I thought that I was like, hey, they missed Groot, but I'm sure he was there, and I just need to see
him
again.
He was there like a little bit.
It was just hard to take it all in.
Yeah, it's crazy. Howard the Duck was also there. No. Actually, fun fact. Yeah,
no way. Yeah. They snuck him in there.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Anyways, basically, Thanos basically is able to stop the Infinity Gauntlet. He blows up like the van or the quantum realm van or whatever the hell you want to call it. Scarlet Witch comes out of nowhere. She's ready. She's pissed.
She is. She's so upset.
She almost fought him off with one hand in Infinity War. She's got so two hands, powerful. And she's mad.
Yeah. She's like, you took everything from me. And he goes, I don't even know who you are. She's like, yeah, you will.
You will.
It's like, let's go.
And she dominates the hell out of him. Like, he should die. The only reason he lives is because he orders his ship to basically just do nuke bomb everything.
Yeah, to just Hiroshima everybody. Like, kill his own people.
Yeah. And, God, it's insane. And then you're kind of like, oh, shit.
Like, how do they get out of this? And then you forget there's an extremely overpowered Marvel hero that we've forgotten about because she's been off doing other stuff.
And then the cannons sort of start facing towards the sky / space, and we see Captain Marvel come shooting in, destroys Thanos' ship, just absolutely wrecks it.
I like how that's just like her go-to, is she just flies through ships to destroy stuff.
Yeah. So then she comes down, and basically all of the female superheroes like line up and get ready to like fight.
Do you think that
I think that happened a little bit earlier actually when Spidey first gets it, but that's kind of cool. I believe that's called the A-Force in the comics.
Some people think that they might do a movie with them. I think that'd be pretty cool, but apparently a lot of, you know, male power idiots hated that scene and hate the idea of that. That just makes me want it to happen more.
I thought it was such a cool thing. Like, when it first started, it was like, oh, there's like a few of them, and then like all of a sudden they all kind of like converge together.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's sweet.
So cool.
And basically, then we get Captain Marvel fighting Thanos, kind of like going hand in hand.
She's holding her own.
She's holding the Infinity Gauntlet down. He's able to get the Infinity Gauntlet. She's holding it down, and he headbutts her. She doesn't react.
Doesn't
at
even
all.
Move.
And then basically the only way that he can do anything is he has to grab the Power Stone out of the gauntlet and punch her and like get her away.
Did you think that she was going to be the one to defeat him right there? I was kind of hoping she wasn't, but I could see how they would. But I was like, oh, don't do it.
I didn't think she was. I thought someone else was going to happen.
Yeah.
I did not expect what was going to happen.
No.
Doctor Strange at this moment. Previously, Tony had asked Doctor Strange, like, is the, like you said, it was 1 in 14 million. Is this the one? He's like, I can't tell you, otherwise it won't happen. And at this moment, basically when Thanos finally has the gauntlet, Tony is sitting there, looks over at Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange holds up one finger as if to say, like, this is the one.
This is it.
Tony kind of realizes what he has to do, flies at Thanos, fights a little bit. Thanos throws him off. Thanos snaps his fingers, but nothing happens. He gets a little thing. He goes, I am inevitable. And then we see Tony. And Tony has basically the Iron Man Infinity Gauntlet on, and he goes, I am Iron Man, and snaps his fingers. Which, one, such a cool moment. Two, such a great line, because that's what started it all, is him saying that at the end of the movie, or the first Marvel movie. Then all the bad guys just start dusting away.
I like how long he held the I am. You know, and then eventually Iron Man. I was like, oh my God. They let the audience kind of soak it in. They're like I'm about to witness Tony snapping back. And you kind of know, like, this is going to take it all out of Tony. And, like, this is it. And it's such an incredible, incredible line to wrap up his story.
Yeah, and honestly, at that point, I was like, okay, so, like, he's going to be affected pretty bad. But I was like, I don't know if he'll die. Like,
As soon as I saw his daughter in the beginning, I was like, cool, Tony's safe. Cap's definitely going to die, just like everyone predicted. Nope.
Yeah, so all the bad dudes get dusted away. Thanos walks away and, like, kind of sits down. Thanos just loves sitting, apparently.
Thanos is so, he's just, like, trying so hard to accept what's about to happen. He's just, like, shaking his head. He's like, God damn it. Oh, man, this sucks.
Yeah, so they dust away, and then basically Tony is just, you know, fried. Like, he is, the entire right side of his body is all, like, burnt up, destroyed. He's, like, basically catatonic.
His brain was, like, ruined, essentially. Like, I like to think he was able to see his final moments, but, like, he was messed up.
Yeah, War Machine pops up and, like, is kind of, like, walks up to him and is, like, trying to, like, say something to him. And then, like, he realizes Spider-Man comes up and he's, like, you're going to be okay. Like, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. And then Pepper comes up. And, like, very quietly is, like, not Jarvis, but, like, Friday, I think, is, like, the technology now. She's like, Friday, and you hear, life conditions critical or whatever or something like that. So you're like, all right, he's done. And she's like, he, like, can't even say anything. He's, like, kind of, like, looking at her, and she's like, Tony, like, you can rest. You can rest.
Call
little
back.
Call back to their conversation. Beautiful. When he first sort of was like, yo, we can do this. It's a very emotional moment. Definitely heard a lot of people tearing up at that point in the theater. And then basically we kind of jump to Tony's funeral. We see a hologram of Tony, kind of reminiscent of his little message that he did in the spaceship. Basically, you know, talks about, he gives like his final words, you know, to everyone, and then finishes it up with saying, "I love you 3000."
The very tears cute moment just that killed. Keep on common
that killed. They step outside to like the lake at their house, and we see Tony's first arc reactor. It says proof that Tony Stark had a heart.
Tears
again.
More tears
again. Kills me. They let it away in the lake.
Stop it, Austin. And then make it stop.
And then we turn around, and the camera shows basically just every single Marvel character, not character, but like important character there, just watching it happen.
Wong, you're coming to my funeral.
Not
call
cool,
back,
man.
Bro.
Not cool, man.
Wong was there.
We even get the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yep. I was like, wait, are they hinting at a new character? Who was that? And then I remembered I IMDb'd that kid, and I was like, holy shit, he has grown up into like an awkward teenager. But yeah, right? I Googled it immediately. I was like, oh yeah, that dude.
Yeah. So everyone's there. Very, very touching stuff. Nick Fury. First time we see Nick Fury and Cobie Smulders, whatever her character, Maria Hill.
Yep, they're back.
There. Yep. We get Jon Favreau's happy talking to Tony's daughter, and he's like, you hungry? Like, what do you want? She's like, I want a cheeseburger, which is what Tony says he wants when he first returns after being
so many callbacks.
Trapped in the cave. That was another very touching moment. It was also a very nice moment because, like, Jon Favreau has as much of a hand in the importance of the MCU as I think anyone else does. It's basically
he started
Feige
it,
and then,
man. I mean,
like, Jon Favreau and Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, a really, really great moment that they, you know, Happy's been kind of in and out of these last movies. I was really glad that we got to see that moment. And like you said, he's a lot of credits due to him for getting this off on the right foot.
Then we see Thor, we shoot the new Asgard, and which is still on Earth, and Thor basically tells Valkyrie that she's gonna be queen. Like, he doesn't want to be what like is expected of him. He just wants to be himself and like do what he thinks he should do.
And then he takes off with the Asgardians. I kind of thought he'd stay with her. Doesn't he love her or no?
I don't know. I think they shied away from that. I think they kind of moved away from it. but what are we gonna get?
Asgardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3.
The search for Gamora.
Quill and Thor's back and forth.
Oh my god,
is
so good.
Incredible. Both of
so good.
It's just Thor has this natural leadership and like alpha ability without even trying, and Quill is just like trying to keep up, and it is just such a great dynamic, and I can't wait to see a gun directed, written as Guardians of the Galaxy 3 now. So on board for this.
I'm very interested if that, because like the whole thing when Gunn left was like, oh, like we're going to use a script. I wonder if like Thor was in that script, like James Gunn wrote that script. Because like, could you imagine how mad like all those people would be if like James Gunn wrote the script because Thor was going to be in it, and then they were like, ah, yeah, he's not going to be dead. So, you know, but that's awesome. That's going to be hilarious. Then all the rest of our characters back together. Then Captain America, they still have to return the stones, mind you.
Gotta finish this thing off, yep.
And so Professor Hulk is there. Cap is like, I'm going to take the stones back. Falcon is like, I can go with you. He's like, no. Cap and Bucky kind of have like one last moment where like you can tell like something might be up because Bucky just kind of like lets it happen. He's like, all right, like good.
Yeah.
Good.
I think Bucky knows.
Cap goes back, and Professor Hulk's like, all right, 3, 2, 1, presses the button, nothing happens. Presses again, nothing happens. They're kind of freaking out, and then all of a sudden they look towards the lake. You know, there's this old man sitting on a bench.
For a moment there, I was like, did he go back to young Cap without muscles?
That's what I thought, too. I was like,
why would he do that?
That's what I thought.
To just take himself out of the equation and just live life as a skinny little boy like myself?
That's what I 100%. That's exactly
because
what I thought.
Because
he was
wearing that same jacket, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was like a really good mix of CG and makeup. Like that looked like some other random old person actor.
I know. I was very impressed. But anyways, basically, Sam/Falcon walks over there and kind of is like, what's up?
What's going on?
And Chris Evans, or God, I can't get it down, who looks like Clint Eastwood now, but less wrinkles and a bit younger than he is. old man Steve, old man Cap, basically, you know, kind of says like, I did what Tony always told me to do. I went and like lived a little bit of that life. Like he, you know,
so
wanted to see what it was
question
like.
Question to you. How did he age?
I don't know. There are two things in this movie that I don't understand time travel wise is, because the whole plan was they would not disturb anything.
Yeah, that's also something that doesn't make sense. I think they just like were like, just don't think about it. It doesn't affect other timelines.
And yeah, I guess the way that like Hulk explained it when he was like talking with the Ancient One kind of made sense to me. And I was like, but if that's how they're going to do it, then two things don't work.
Nebula.
Thanos jumps ahead.
Yeah.
Which ruins the original timeline.
Correct.
Because he never returns. Like that just ruins it. And then two, Cap going back in time and just like living a normal life would ruin everything.
Right, and Nebula killing old Nebula killing young Nebula
would
make herself drop dead.
Yes,
I believe so.
Yeah,
we just need to not think about this stuff, Austin.
yeah. I tried like talking to one of my friends about it, and he's like, "Well, that's just because like those are all alternate timelines then." And I was like, "How the hell does that make any sense?"
Then you open
that ruins
up Pandora's
their explanation
box.
Of it.
Yeah.
I
you just gotta. It's a movie.
Yeah, but then Captain America passes the shield over to Falcon, and Falcon is our new Captain America.
I just think Anthony Mackie's super lame, so that didn't get me excited. I'd rather him give it to Bucky.
I agree. I wish Bucky would have gotten it, but I also don't think I'd be excited either way.
Yeah.
I just don't like care about a new Captain America, and I think that's kind of the trouble is like Chris Evans is like Captain America.
Yeah,
now,
I mean,
forever.
They'll give Mackie and Bucky maybe a TV show. I don't see them doing movies off these two. They just don't have
no,
the pull.
No. Yeah. We see Captain America has a wedding ring, so we know that he finally got Peggy. Shoot back to the 1930s or 1950s, whenever it is, and this, you know, old-fashioned house, and Cap is finally getting his one dance with Peggy.
So cute.
And then the movie
cue
ends.
Cue happy tears. Yeah, and then...
Then the movie ends.
We got credits. I Googled what the after credits were, so I actually left. I heard that there was some really cool, like, signatures from the main cast mm-hmm. overlaying some of their earlier footage and best scenes. Did you stay for all of it?
No, I kind of just sat there and then was like trying to decompress for like a couple minutes. And then I was like, I should check if there's a mid-credits scene. I don't think there is.
Yeah.
And then there wasn't.
So
and I was like, all right,
I think it was kind of cool. They didn't cliffhang you. They just let you know mm-hmm. this is the end. And let's talk about the post-credits sound. Have you heard what that was?
Yeah, it's a clanking of metal, which is Iron Man creating the first suit.
So a hint of his return or a homage to what started it all? What are your thoughts?
I think an homage.
I've listened to numerous podcasts, read a bunch of articles. Some people have said, like, it's Tony Stark. He definitely uploaded his mind to a computer somewhere. There's chances for him to come back. In the comics, he's always coming back as, like, an AI or something, can warp his brain into an Iron Man suit body, holographic display of his head. So I think Robert Downey Jr. will come back in some capacity, but certainly not as a fully formed and functioning human. But yeah, I agree. They'll let it simmer for quite some time and then let the audience go absolutely bonkers one day when he returns.
Yeah, and I think sort of where we go from here in the MCU is I don't think they try to do something like this again, at least not
for
the next
10
years.
Yeah.
they got the Fantastic Four and the X-Men to work with now, so they got plenty of other stories that they can do. I think they do a lot of smaller team-ups, like they're doing with Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy, or what they are probably going to do with Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy. They're going to do their TV stuff. I think it's going to be much more comic book-like now, yeah, where things aren't really set in stone. Whereas, like, if someone died in, you know, Iron Man 3 or something, like, if Pepper died in Iron Man 3, she wouldn't have been around for this movie or some shit like that. Like, people wouldn't be coming back. But I think, like, now something like that could happen because we got our big epic. We got our 22-movie span. People aren't expecting that now. You can bring it back. People aren't going to, like, care if in 10 years you Tony Stark is a freaking robot or something for one scene in a movie. They'd be like, all right, this is comic book-like. Yep. So I think that's
what we're
going to
get. Give it time to breathe. Give it time for people to anticipate these comebacks, and you get older versions of these people. Yeah, I agree. Do you think there will be a cameo, whether it's AI or a recorded message or what have you, of Robert Downey Jr. in Spider-Man Far From Home?
No, I don't think so.
I think there will be. Bet?
No.
Okay, we'll come up with another bet as we get closer to the next Marvel movie. That is the next Marvel movie, correct?
That is. That's the next one, cool. And that's kind of like the last one that's really on schedule for a bit.
One thing we didn't cover was the Stan Lee cameo. What were your thoughts? Was that real or CG?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I'm fine with it if it was him. I don't like it if it was CG. It's kind of silly either too.
I actually, you know what? I'm fine with it if it was CG, but just for this.
Yeah, and if it's the last one, like, it's over. Yeah. I agree. Maybe, you know, sneak him in there for all of that 11-year first kind of shot at all this, but it needs to be done.
Yeah.
Woo, that was quite a breakdown. My goodness.
That was. I, like, don't even know if I have it in me to, like, talk about Game of Thrones.
I was just
going to
say, let's, do you want to do another episode for Thrones? Like, it's going to take an hour.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, probably.
I mean, we can still do it this week. To the listeners, we're literally deciding this on the fly, but that was exhausting.
Yeah, we'll have Thrones episode 3 for you later this week.
Yeah, I agree. Let's let it simmer a little bit more. I kind of want to rewatch it again too. So
same. I need to do that as
cool.
well. Yeah,
I like it.
All right. Grades again for Avengers Endgame.
A for me. I want to see it again on Saturday. It might sneak up in A+ territory just based off pure entertainment value alone in the culmination of 11 years of film. What about you?
A- for me, and I think it's pretty cemented there, but I think nostalgically, and the more that I think about it and look on it, it's just going to be as connected to the rest of the movie, so it'll just be like an A. Like, it's almost something that I can't grade.
Yeah.
It's just because everything else has affected it so much. Like, it's such a just culmination.
It's a unique project. Unique piece of cinema, man. We've no one's ever seen anything like it. There's just nothing.
And no one's ever going to see anything like
right.
it.
Right. I mean, 50 years from now, maybe, like, when entertainment takes an entirely new medium and VR or whatever the hell we're doing in 50 years, but, like, this is the movie event of our lives, and it happened on the same weekend as the TV event of our lives as well.
Yeah, goddamn. Oh, what a good weekend. All right, thank you for listening. Let us know what you thought about Avengers Endgame. We will have Game of Thrones episode 3 talk for you later this week, hopefully before the next episode comes out. Otherwise, I guess you'll get a double.
Pair them up, maybe.
About
we'll
episode
see.
3 and 4. But thank you for listening. Remember to go to glitchwood.com, see whatever new stuff we're putting up there. Subscribe, review, follow us on social media. Glitchwood.com/support. There are 3 ways that you can support us. You can go to glitchwood.com/Amazon. Just takes you directly to Amazon. No frills, no extra stuff. Just when you order, Amazon actually gives us a little kickback at no extra cost to you. So a little way to help us out when you're ordering on Amazon like you always do anyway. Just one extra little thing. And then you can order shirts from TeePublic and Patreon. Donations as well. Again, thank you, and I love you 3,000 guys.
Oh, don't make me cry again.